This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Trae Young's going to bring it up. I'm sure he wants to get it to Vince. Vince shoots a three, and he makes it. Vince Carter just made a three. That could be the last points he ever scores in the NBA, and he does it with flair. A three-pointer makes it 136-131. What a way to end it.
It's cool, though. Basketball has been good to me. I've enjoyed each and every moment of it, good and bad. If this is it, it's all good. At least I made my last basket.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg. Remember to check us out on the radio.com app, all your devices, including smart speakers. That was the voice of a future Hall of Famer, Vince Carter, on his retirement, hitting that last shot. Somewhere in there, Sam, in our database of interviews, I got to him last year at the American Century Classic Championships out there in Lake Tahoe.
Right.
And he was there, and he was on with Dukes and Bell talking about, you know, all manner of things NBA, and I touched on his retirement right now. But listen, it is rare. It is rare, and I was trying to think of another team that had in its history, and listen, you could make a case for Dr. J for a cup of coffee, but two of the high flyers that this league has ever seen before, the guys who have had, whose highlight reels, if you put them together in the uniform of one particular team, meaning Dominique and Vince Carter, I mean, please. Now, I realize Vince didn't do all this high flying here in Atlanta, but if you were to, you know, end it in that Hawks uniform, we've had a very, very special opportunity and a very up close seat at watching these two do their thing. If you're old enough to remember Dominique, but also these last few years of Vince Carter, and the respect that he's gotten this last week has been well deserved.
Absolutely, absolutely, Greg. And the thing of it was the current players. This Hawks team is quite young, and so having him as a model for them to watch his last couple of seasons of his career, it's been priceless. It's been priceless because of the shape that he was in. He's not just a guy later stages of his career on the bench pointing and telling you go and do this. He comes off the bench and he gets out there and he's leading them up the floor. That's the thing that his first year with the team, he had to take on a lot of minutes in games that you wouldn't think a player of his age would have to do. And he did it in such a way that it really made a lasting impression on these young players. I remember talking with Kevin Herter before last season began, and we mentioned we talked with him on the media day, and we talked with him about Vince Carter. He talked about what he brings to the team and what he brings. You're going up against a coach that he's faced many times, like a Doc Rivers. He says, all right, Doc is probably thinking about this. This is probably what he's going to do against Pop. With the Spurs, because he's faced these guys so many times before in the different teams, and he's introducing them to scenarios, and the guys go out and watch that unfold after getting it from him. Just seeing Kevin Herter's eyes light up when he talked about being on the same team with Vince Carter, it tells you what he's meant to this young Atlanta Hawks basketball team.
You know, the good news about what the NBA does is with their Hall of Famers, we don't have to worry about being excluded because none of them go in, if I'm not mistaken, with a team. Right? You're just going into the Hall of Fame. It's not like baseball where you got to wear a cap or they put you with such and such a team. So he will be collectively remembered, not only Toronto, obviously, is where he did most of his high flying, but, you know, he shut it down here in Atlanta. Again, the things you have heard, the comments that have come out from the young players, the ambassador that this dude has been. And by the way, I got to think hard. Any controversy over 22 years with this dude?
Really haven't. No.
I mean, think about that.
Not.
22 years, not one speck of controversy. So, anyway, Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 90.
And I go back all the way back to his days at playing in North Carolina with him as covering him. So I've seen him from that stage all the way through his NBA career. He's been a class act throughout it all.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg. Good morning, Georgia.
Morning.
There you go. That's what I was waiting for. So as we move from Vince and his career, his Hall of Fame career, to what these guys are attempting to do, heading down to Orlando in a few weeks to start this NBA season and the conversations that have been swirling around, what is going to happen? What is it going to look like? How many of these guys are going to opt out? All of this. And Sam, I heard somebody say this, so I really would like to take credit for it, but I can't. But as I watch these teams, and you pick the sport, try to come back, and right now we're concentrating on the NBA, this whole return to sports is like a Jenga tower. You know that game? And, you know, you go pull that one little thing out, that one block out, and, you know, it could tumble. It is such a balancing act that everybody is going through right now. And so there's a whole lot of wait and see. I realize they want to get back. And the obvious reason is if they shut this season down, you know, the owners can tear up the CBA and they got to start over again. And I know that's something they don't want to do. But, again, it's like all the others. Let's see what happens next week. I mean, hell, we got to deal with this African, this desert that's flying over us right now. It just seems like every week, Sahara dust.
It's the Sahara dust now.
I mean, if that don't sound like some kind of jazz album, I don't know what does. We talk about this when we talk during the week, man. With every week, there is another head-shaking moment. And who, like everything else that's gone on, nobody foresaw some of that happening. Now, this thing, we got something that hasn't happened in 50 years. To this level, I guess it happens, but it stays over there in that hemisphere. But it has made its way across the Atlantic against the Gulf Stream, right? Well, no, there's got to be some wind. I thought storms and everything went from, when it comes to the East Coast, they go from us over to Europe.
West to east. Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is very determined. It's a very determined dust. It's determined to be here.
It's like something from the Mummy.
Golly.
Which is,
what else, right?
Anyway, as you sat and listened to the conversation swirling the return to the bubble this week, what were your thoughts?
I mean, they're going to go down, they're going to give it a try, and people are going to, all the other sports entities, you know, major leagues are going to watch to see how well this works. And we're hearing about players who are testing positive before they get there. The idea is they get everyone in, and, you know, a lot of it goes against human nature to go in a place and just, you know, especially in a place like that where there's so much around, so much to see, to say we're just going to go and play basketball and come back to our hotel and we're going to do this until we break the season out. I mean, I guess we're thinking about ourselves. These are professional athletes. And when we say professional, I'd like to think that discipline is a big word that comes in. You can't get to be at that level without some discipline. And so that's what they're going to have to dial up, you know, big time to say, hey, this is a business trip. This is an extended business trip. But we got to come down and keep our focus on what we're doing and play basketball and maintain our health because a lot of people are watching to see how the NBA does it. If the NBA does this and it is successful, Greg, imagine what that means for other sports, for them to be the example, for them to be the ones who did it and it worked. So that's the other part of it. We
well,
talk
hang
about
on, but that's only in the basketball world, though. That's only in the basketball world because football can't take a piece of this and feel confident about what they're doing.
I mean, MLS is going to be able to do it. You're talking about a similar size roster. MLS has a few more players than an NBA roster would have. Yeah, right. You're right. But in principle, though, to have that, you got a smaller roster you're working with, and that makes it a little bit easier. You know, but housing people in the same place. Football would be very tricky. And Dr. Fauci had said football needed to do the same type thing. I can't imagine football trying to do something, you know, like this. But the idea that NBA wants to do this, and if it works to their credit, it's showing a way that it can be done in the face of this pandemic. And it's, I think that's the part that they're looking at.
And it's working. It'll work for them. But if you want to translate that to college, excuse me, we can't do that, right? We can't do it for college basketball. And right now they're struggling to decide. All right, we've got NBA, we've got MLS down there, but we've also got WNBA, and we're hearing from these ladies from Candace Parker on down, talking about their concerns with it. Listen, Adam Silver and those connected with the NBA have said this: no option is risk free. None. They can't come up with
one. That's true. Oh, very much. Very much.
So it's all a mechanism that is continuously moving. And with that in place, there are human beings that are involved in this mechanism who have other concerns. And here's the other component you left out. And while they're not going to be at summer camp, these are millionaires who are making adjustments to their life. Now, you kind of like to see that as a fan, you know, watching them act marine-like where they have to adapt and adjust. But they also have families. But they also have the ability to make decisions that college players won't be able to make. And as far as, you know, you're already hearing from guys who are shutting it down and saying, we're not going, or I got enough money in the bank, and I'm not putting me or my family at risk, blah, blah, blah. And so they're going to try and shove these 22 teams in there and restart the season. All right, let's watch and see what happens. But I think that each one of these plans are a standalone entity. So whatever NBA does and who's under that bubble, like I said, NBA, WNBA, MLS, okay, that's theirs. Now let's watch and see. And we're going to talk about this, the return of college sports, whether it's basketball and or football or whatever it is, the fall sports for all these for these universities. What's that going to be like? And here's another thing that we haven't talked about.
We'll talk about that because I think with colleges, we talked about the alarming number of college fall athletes who've come back and tested positive. And we're going to get that, too, when the NFL players return, too. We're going to get a lot of players test positive because they're coming from where they've been, their environment, their homes, their communities, their families. We're going to get that. But the idea is getting them to that place where they treat them, and that becomes their own bubble, where they take care, you know, where they're going to maintain their health and monitor their health once they get there. I think that's what's happening with college, with the major colleges, and what will happen with the NFL once those guys come in. That's going to happen here too. This will happen here too with the NBA. The guys who are tested, you're going to treat them. They'll find out about, they'll detect it sooner and earlier. And you know, the idea is you want to detect early, and there are ways of treating it now compared to a few months ago when we had nothing. You know, so I mean, that's the other side of it.
Sam, I got two things that just when you talk about the testing, you talk about getting it as if they're going to get it. Not you, but the conversation is like, okay, well, there's testing in place. These guys are going to get tested and they're going to quarantine themselves and then they'll come back. No, that's not going to happen. This thing affects the lungs. So
the guys that tested earlier, Rudy Gobert, those guys are back.
I'm not talking about then. I'm not talking about the end of the season or back in March when this thing shut down. I'm talking about right now, moving forward, okay? And there's that consideration. However you want to, you know, put it in place, these guys are having something that's going to affect their lungs, their air, their endurance. And the conversations that I've heard from people, like Rudy Gobert hasn't played a game since he tested positive. I don't know what he's been doing. I'm sure he's been working out, but running up and down the court, I don't know what it's going to look like. I absolutely don't. But what I do know, listening to these people who have had it that are athletes, they're just not 100% right, okay? Because this thing affects their lungs. But here's the other thing, Sam, and this has been talked about. Let's say you talked about Vince Carter earlier. Let's say you're a North Carolina fan and college basketball decides to get back up and running, you going to feel comfortable about your coach, Roy Williams, and his age being out there in that environment? You know what I mean? We got to talk about these a lot of these coaches.
Absolutely. The people around the teams are big because of the ages and the health factor, obviously. Those under over 65 for sure.
Yeah. So, again, I mean, there are so many tentacles here to sit back and watch. I don't have an answer. I don't know that I would agree with everything that's being done, but it's being done. So as a sports fan, I want to make this clear. I want them sports back. I really do. Okay? But I don't know what it's going to look like and if it's going to even happen, because with every week, there's a new decision being made about coming back or pushing it back or whatever. But now there are things in place. There are schedules in place. Let's wait and see what happens. Because remember, the NBA shut this thing down after one person tested positive. Once the games start, are they going to do that again? Well, no. But how many is it going to take? Again, just the conversation that people are having as things are being solidified and making it sound like we're going to be ready to go. All right, coming up next, we are going to move to something local here, and a guy that I don't think we've had Steve on the show before, Steve Kraft, Sam?
Have not, so looking forward to it, man.
Yeah, Fulton County Athletic Director going to join us next. Is Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers.
But I couldn't stay away too long.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg with you on this Sunday morning. Beautiful, glorious Sunday morning outside. Beautiful day in spite of the Sahara dust. I'm so glad you're with us from our virtual studios.
Sahara dust.
The Sahara dust. And we come to you, of course, by way of the radio.com app available for your smartphones and all of your smart devices. So glad that you're spending some of your Sunday morning with us. Greg, we've talked a little bit about college, and we've glossed over some things with the NBA, but the high schools are looking for a way to gear up in face of this pandemic as well, and they've been given the green light, the high school student-athletes, to return to work out at their schools after months being away. The spring sports teams completely lost their seasons. Many of those teams lost their seasons, didn't get a chance to play for state championships for the senior year. They're moving forward now. And joining us now to talk about it now on the Wayport.com hotline, Athletic Director from Fulton County Schools, Stephen Kraft, joins us now. Good morning, Steve. How you doing?
Morning, Steve.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We are doing fine, and as we have asked all our guests during this crazy time, how are you and your family doing during this?
We're doing really good. Like everybody else, you had periods of being a little stir crazy, but you adjust to the new norm and you figure out what works for you and your family, and then you kind of go from there because you don't have a choice.
Well, Steve, I tell you what, I'm going to let Mr. Crenshaw take it from here because he knows that there is only one thing I want to talk to you about, and we have been talking about it for a long time. So we're going to let Sam go and get into the meat and potatoes, but there was a decision that was made that apparently people had been listening to me. I don't want to crow too much, but Sam, I'll let you take it from here. And you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, we do. He's chomping at the bit, Steve, to get into it.
Go ahead.
First of all, first things first, let's talk about what's happening. We're getting these young people back on campus. The Georgia High School Association gave a date that you could start having workouts in small groups. Fulton County took a little bit of time. You guys didn't start with alongside everybody else. You took a little more time. Why did you make sure to do that?
We took another week just to make sure that we could put all of our protocols in place. Our number one priority was making sure that we could bring our student athletes and our coaches back in the safest environment possible. And so we wanted to make sure that we had all of our protocols in place, our screening process, our cleaning supplies, and we just wanted to make sure that we didn't have any issues when we brought them back. And, we were a little bit more restrictive than what the Georgia High School was. And, we came a week later, and we're only allowing at this time fall sports to come back on campus. So this way we can kind of control the number of kids that are on our campus. We can control, you know, what they're exposed to, and we're just trying to make sure that we're, you know, providing the safest environment for them at this time.
I think I even saw you had some stuff in a truck you were taking around to the different schools to personally deliver some things to go along with the preparation. Talk about organizing that, and I know we've all gotten used to Zoom meetings and Google or whatever we do, but talk about once you got the green light of getting it all organized, how was that process for you and your athletic directors at your schools and your coaches?
Well, I'm so fortunate. I've got 16 wonderful athletic directors with our high schools, and, you know, they've been lockstep with me on making sure that we're doing the right things. And so, you know, we determined the cleaning supplies we wanted, what our procedures were going to be. And then, you know, we had placed an order as a district, and, you know, we kind of got it all to come in at one day. And, you know, they came in, we got it, we went through some trainings to make sure that they could convey it to their coaches. And, you know, unfortunately, just like anything else, you know, one of the trucks came in a little later, so, you know, I played the delivery man, which was perfect. You know, it gave me a chance to kind of get out. But, you know, my ADs have just done a tremendous job of communicating with their coaches. And the coaches have just done a fantastic job of implementing our plan and, you know, just making sure our athletes are screened, you know, before their workouts. We're keeping the groups separate, you know, having a plan of this group is coming on at this location, this group will leave at this location, you know, just working out the logistics of the entire thing. And, you know, I just couldn't be prouder of the job that my ADs and head fall coaches have done in making sure that we've done this process as safe as possible.
Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline this morning with Stephen Kraft. He is the athletic director of Fulton County Schools. As the athletes get back to work gradually at the high schools around our state, that leads me to a question. You know, have you heard from any parents? And what are the main concerns that parents may have? Are you getting that back from any of your coaches?
You know, so, you know, I think this has been a topic where people are really on both sides of the fence on this. Some are like, why did y'all wait so late to get started? Others are like, are you sure you should be moving forward? And so, you know, I'm sure there's not a right answer, you know, but the workouts for this summer are completely voluntary. And so, you know, there are no penalties if you don't want to be here. You know, if you don't want to do it, we completely understand. But, you know, all we could do was just communicate, hey, here's the handbook that we have put together to do all of our safeguards. Here's our process. Here's the procedures. Here is all of the information we have to try to make sure that if your child does come back on our campus, they'll be in the safest environment possible. And so, you know, we feel like we've over-communicated, and, you know, our coaches have done a great job of communicating. But, you know, there's always going to be some that are uneasy, and, you know, you see numbers kind of starting to creep back up now with COVID cases. And, you know, it's just trying to work out through all of those logistics right now.
Listen, first of all, I want to apologize. We have not, we've done this man a disservice, Sam. We have not introduced him properly. This is Dr. Stephen Kraft.
Oh, very much.
Yeah, so I apologize for that, Doc. I mean, you know, you earned it, so
we
should throw it in there. I'm about to come at you, but I want to make sure I got this other stuff taken care of first. No, but seriously, Doctor, we have had a conversation, meaning me and Sam, since we have been working together. And Sam has continuously introduced me to what's going on at the high school level because I don't follow it as much as him. And as he has schooled me on a number of things, one of the things that he has gone back, I threw it out there as a frustrated sports fan because I know it works on the other levels, and I've questioned him about it, and he said, nah, it's never going to happen. It ain't never going to happen. And that is the 24-second shot clock. And
that is...
Yeah, I understand there has been a decision made. When was it and why was it? Why did it happen?
So we just wrapped up two state executive committee meetings for the Georgia High School Association last week. We met Tuesday and Wednesday and in Thomaston, and that was one of the proposals. And, you know, one of my head basketball coaches at Langston Hughes, Coach Welsh, was one of the leaders of this movement. And, you know, they really wanted the ability to continue to grow the game. And, you know, they felt really strongly that the shot clock was going to allow this. And, you know, they brought this proposal to the Georgia High School Association 2 years ago, and it was tabled because, you know, people weren't quite ready for that. And I'll say this, Coach Welsh and, you know, several other coaches around the state, you know, they got to work and they worked on creating a plan that they thought that everybody could agree with. And so when they made their proposal last week, you know, it was really well thought out of. It's a 3-year phase-in plan for the high schools. And so, you know, next year the shot clock can be used in a very select few invitational tournaments. The following year it can be used in your region contest as long as everybody in the region agrees with it. And then the third year it will become mandatory for all high school basketball games. And so that gives the high schools 3 years to be able to purchase the equipment and get it installed and get comfortable with the idea. And some schools will move faster than others, and, you know, but I think it's really a great opportunity for us to grow the sport of basketball. And also to, you know, we're fortunate in the state of Georgia. We have a lot of very talented high school basketball players. And, you know, I think this will help them transition to that college game, you know, if they're fortunate enough to earn a scholarship.
It just never made any sense to me. And I beat Sam over the head with that. And it became a source of comedy between us for a number of years. And so I don't know who this guy was that you talk about as spearheaded, but I'm going to take credit for it. I'm going to say he was listening to us. I'm doing it. Dr. Stephen Kraft, director of Fulton County. He's the Fulton County Athletic Director, I should say, joining Sam and Greg here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Is there any other changes, whether it's basketball or football or any other sport, that came out of that meeting that we can look forward to?
There were just a few little minor tweaks. They added a distance relay for track meets, also with a phase-in in 2 years with a relay sprint event to kind of to go with the distance relay. There was a removal of the requirement for your 30 baseball games that you the requirement was at least some of your games had to be in a doubleheader format, and they got rid of that. So just minor tweaks. The biggest thing that kind of came out of that was, you know, the shot clock, obviously, and then also, you know, it was, you know, the second meeting was the first time with the new state executive committee meeting members. You know, they met for the first time, and they elected their board of trustees for the next 2 years.
Spending time on the WageWorks.com hotline with Stephen Kraft, the athletic director of Fulton County Schools. Okay, those are rules that took place. The first things that take place will be the fall sports. Everybody wants to know about the football season. Will the NFL start on time? Will college football start on time? Will high school football start on time? And you've already made some changes with schools within Fulton County, according to teams that are going to play from outside of the state. Talk about that decision and where you are as far as everything starting on time, Steve.
Yes, we made that decision as a district probably almost 6 weeks ago. And, you know, at the time, you know, we had an opportunity. We had a couple of schools that were going to go out of state for games, and then we had teams that were hosting out-of-state teams. And with us not knowing what the situation was going to be in the fall, you know, we wanted to be proactive with this. And, you know, by making the decision when we did, we felt like we were going to be able to fill everybody's schedule at that time with in-state competition. And so, you know, it affected 8 total. I think it was 4 high schools and I guess 5 high schools and 8 total games. And, you know, by making the decision when we did, we were able to go ahead and fill all of those schools' schedules. So all of our high schools have 10 games, and it's all local competition. And we just wanted to be proactive. We didn't want our schools to get caught in a situation where, you know, we made a decision late in the process that they couldn't travel, or another state made that decision, and our schools and, more importantly, our student athletes weren't getting a full schedule. And so it was just our opportunity to try to be proactive with that, you know, just not knowing what the situation would be in our state or in other states at that time.
Dr. Kraft, I want to bring you into a little bit of my world and something that's a part of the show but shut down right now because of the film industry and this pandemic. But when it resurfaces, one of the things that is regularly needed is athletes. I just want you to consider and reaching out, you as a, you know, the head of the Fulton County Athletic Director, but I have mentioned this to other governing bodies in high schools. I'm on a show that's coming up. Varsity Blues. They're remaking that old movie. The point of it is there is a need for high school athletes for these dozens of projects that are regularly being shot around the city. A, is that something that these high school players can participate in without having that affect them if they want to go to college? And if not, is there a way to connect that as, you know, because they're bringing the film industry into universities and there are all these programs, but I wonder if it's being done on the high school level, and have you been invited to some of these meetings to see if there's a way that you can let the various coaches know, hey, we might want to partner up with some of these productions that are being here and let some of our students play in some of these films and TV shows. Is that an option?
So I have not been a part of any of those meetings. That is something I'd be very interested in, maybe creating an opportunity for our student athletes. That is something that, you know, as far as it being allowed, that's a conversation I would have to have with Dr. Robin Hines, with the you know, the executive director for the Georgia High School Association, and just make sure that it didn't violate their amateur status. And so, you know, a lot of times, you know, we've had people be able to do like small cameos because they were not compensated for that. And so, you know, that is just something that we would have to look at because we wouldn't want to violate their amateur status. But, you know, I do think it's something that is potentially possible.
Yeah, I constantly get asked about that on the high school level. So I tell you what, you and I need to have another conversation. And if I need to spearhead that, I see that as another job for me. As far as helping out, because we're already getting people done as extras, but I wanted to ask you that because it is a big business here in the state, and they are constantly looking for athletes across the board. There's companies that are here that are reaching out to high school and college programs to recruit those players who aren't blue chip ones that you know are going to the next level that can be the opposing team for the stars in this particular TV show or movie. So, yeah, I would absolutely like to have a conversation with you about that moving forward. But first and foremost, we can't thank you enough, Doctor, for getting up and being a part of the show this morning.
Listen, it was my pleasure, and you know, I really appreciate you guys bringing me on, and I'd be more than happy to do it more often. You just let me know, so thank you so much.
Thanks so much for joining us, and after all, he's the guy who gets credit for the shot clock, right?
Yeah, he does. No, I do.
Listen, I'm giving him full credit for the shot clock, and I'm going to text Coach Welsh and let him know, like, don't take credit for this ever again. So we know the truth now.
Hey, I'm willing to share, but yeah, I want to be a part of that billing. Doctor, stay safe, and we look forward to having you back on the show.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great morning.
Dr. Steve Kraft, that is Fulton County Athletic Director. Sam, I thought about that because I'm constantly getting asked. You know, you get asked for me about extra work, but these are actual jobs where they're looking for high school players and college players to be in some of these productions.
Yeah, you know, it happens. I've heard of some. We'll talk about that some when we come back.
Yes, we can. Also, want to talk about what you've been watching lately, right, man. We're going to get into that up next. It's Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Be sure to check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg, by the way, tell everybody we are here every Sunday morning at 6 a.m. until 10. And you also check us out on the radio.com app, all your devices, including smart speakers. Mr. Crenshaw, the music we hear coming back is something that's near and dear to you. Tell us who we're listening to and why we're playing it.
Well, that's the music in the background of Freddie Cole, Atlanta resident, and of course, brother of Nat King Cole and uncle of Natalie Cole, who passed away yesterday, age of 88, and just a renowned performer here in the city for many, many, many years, and recognized nationally, and just a treasure for jazz enthusiasts. And I didn't know he was born in Chicago.
Well, here's the thing. I'm a big jazz person like you. I wasn't too familiar with him, and it's unfortunate because he, like some other folks, is under a very big umbrella, meaning his brother. So it's, you know, it's kind of hard to break out from that when that's your brother.
Yeah. But I think he found his own lane, you know, and doing it his way. And sure, you can't escape if you're Nat King Cole's brother. You can't hide, mm-hmm. especially if you're a musician. And, of course, you're going to be judged by that, and rightfully so. And then you have a niece like Natalie Cole who comes out and performs the way she did. So, yeah, I think he, in his own way, he upheld that family tradition very, very well. So, you know, this is indeed sad news, but he leaves a great musical legacy. And Atlanta resident, Freddie Cole.
If you're just joining the show, Sam and I started off by talking about some of the events of the past week. We're going to get more into NASCAR coming up in the next hour, but, you know, how things played out, the end of the Talladega race. Also talked about this historic date. This day, back in 1971, this is the day the Supreme Court overturned the draft invasion conviction of Muhammad Ali. 1971. And then, of course, yeah, the tune-ups that happened before the Joe Frazier fight, the first one being right here in Atlanta, which is going to be the basis of a movie coming up because of the party that took place at the Chicken Man's house. We were talking about that. But there has been a couple different documentaries that have come out lately surrounding, with the movement going on and a lot of black athletes and so on and so forth. There have been a few Ali type documentaries or related or boxing ones. And I wanted to ask you, as we are sort of, you know, hunkered down here still for the most part, some things you've been watching, man.
Yeah, just been watching.
You still checking out Korean baseball?
Watching it some, you know, whenever it is. There's been boxing on during the week. It's a kind of neat configuration because you got to remember, nobody's live calling play-by-play at anything right now. They're calling play-by-play from a studio. Right. Even NASCAR, the play-by-play people, Adam Alexander, those guys are in the studio. They're not at the track, right. You know. So, I mean, the only people at the track are like the pit reporters. So that's the thing. You remember boxing, they're calling it from a studio. They have a reporter there who from at a distance will interview the winner after every fight. It's just unique the way it's being done. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the boxers are doing their walk up to the ring. They got their little music playing, but there's no crowd.
Right.
You know, so it's different. But with nothing else being on, boxing is making this thing to say, you know, hey, we're going to find a way to do it. Keep these guys safe. If somebody tests positive, there have been a lot of last minute, shutdowns of some of the fights. If somebody, that boxer or somebody with their crew or training partners fail a test for COVID-19, all of a sudden they're off the boxing card. So that's how they're managing to bring that sport back. The other thing I've been watching, man, is pro bowlers. And, you know, because that's been, it's been on.
Is Pete Weber still bowling?
No, man, but you know what, though? You know what? I think he is. I think he is, but he's not. I mean, they got a young crew that's out there bowling now.
All right.
And they're doing this. I don't know the name of the bowler. Somebody can help me if you're listening. They've gone to this two-hand delivery. Have you seen that?
I had a niece that used to do that with the bumper things on the side.
No, yeah, but they've gone to this two-hand delivery almost of the bowling. And next time I go, I want to try it. But I mean, it's working.
So, like, you're carrying the ball up and then you just let it go and the front hand guides the backhand?
You go back and you just like you would rear it back with one hand, you take it back with two and push it out. You know, you take it back with two. It's kind of like if you're playing tennis and you're a two-hand backhand. You're going to take the racket back with two hands. It's like with a bowling ball. You're going to take the ball back with both hands, hold on to it, and both hands going to bring it forward and release it. And it works.
Okay.
Like I said, I haven't seen it in person. I haven't seen anybody doing it in person, but these guys are doing it on TV. And, you know, they out there doing it for a living. They're making money. So who am I to argue with that?
I have slipped and fallen before delivering a bowling ball. I think you get the bowling shoes on.
Yeah, I can see
that. The last thing I want to do is add another move to it. That's the last thing I want to do. I see back problems all day long trying to do a two-handed thing. So God bless the ones that can do it, but no, not me.
man, I was at the, that,
I was at the,
Go ahead.
I don't know how I fell into it, but I was when I was out covering the thing in Lake Tahoe. We were staying in Reno, and I didn't. I guess they got to have one someplace, but the world's the Bowling Museum, the World Bowling Museum, is in Reno.
Okay.
Is in Reno, Nevada, and it's
How did it end up there?
Listen, man, I don't know, but as I remember bowling growing up, it was always in those, they weren't in the top cities, they were just like the next level cities. They were in Akron, they were in Peoria, they were in, you know, Des Moines, they were in Reno would be one of those cities. But it had like, it seemed like 50 lanes. In this place, it was huge. The museum. I'd never seen it like, I enjoyed going up in there.
Did they have a lot of ugly shirts?
Now, actually, it was, I don't think I was really supposed to be there because it was closed.
Okay. Ooh.
Yeah, but that was one of my earliest remembrances as a kid. You know, one of the things, if you grew up in Chicago, you did, you learned to jump on the L. You learned how, I'm sure New Yorkers are the same way. You learned how to navigate the subway systems and the L trains in your city. And so, of course, you learned that early if you're going to skip school and go to Wrigley Field to watch the day games, right? But one of the things we used to do is also go downtown to Marina Towers because they had great bowling alleys there. Marina Towers are those two circular buildings. A few years ago, Willenda walked between them.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Marina Towers.
Now, anyway, with the bowling lanes, were they like a ground or like kind of underground?
No, these were like on the eighth floor, believe it or
not. Eighth floor?
I think they were right above where the parking decks ended.
Really?
So they had them there. But again, these are years ago. I
remember going to Milwaukee once. And I was now, and I saw, and a bunch of men came walking up some stairs from down low, and they all had the little bowling bags. And I was like, where are them guys going?
That's, you know, is this,
he said, they've been bowling. I'm like, I said, where's the bowling at? It's down those steps.
I kid you not. You got me in a personal story here.
Okay.
One of the kids I grew up with, I went to school with, and didn't know him very well, but he had one of those houses that everybody went to on Friday nights. When you cruised around, you look at who's having people over to house. And so this dude's name was, Larry. Larry and his family, lived in a house that was once owned by Tony Accardo. And Tony Accardo, again, this is one of those things where you want to just watch how you mention names. But he was, you know, a known gangster. And he came out of the Capone mob back in the day, right? And he lived in River Forest, Illinois. Anyway, cut to the story. We went to his house, and in the house, in the basement, was a bowling alley.
Wow. Okay.
And there were escape routes. They had been closed up and sealed up and cemented there, but there were escape routes from that bowling alley in that basement. In other words, getaway places. It just reminded me of that. But yeah, there were people who built it, and everybody in the neighborhood knew that house. And back in the 60s, you know, Tony Accardo lived there. He's long since been gone, but he was, he is known as Momo in a lot of movies. Let's just put it that way. They don't use his name, but he's just Momo.
But who would they invite over to bowl, and would they, after they bowled, would they get to leave, or
whoever he wanted to? I would think.
Yeah,
yeah. I think he gave it to. And again, I'm not telling tales out of school. This is all well documented. I think when he shut it down, he turned things over to Sam Giancana, and we could talk about Sam Giancana and what he did and how he got Kennedy elected for a very long time. But we don't have time to get into that. But bowling is one of those things that, you know, kids can only do so many things, and, you know, getting together and bowling is one of those things. So we sought out lanes as much as we could. First place you went out when your parents weren't around, you drank some beer if you could get served.
See, that's the thing in the bowling alley.
I had my first Schlitz at a bowling alley.
Schlitz.
Yeah, I did.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we are going to talk to our 92.9 The Game's Joe Patrick about not only what's going on with baseball, but also MLS. Talk a little Atlanta United. The reopening of NFL and college football and what we think that's going to look like. And something special, sort of on the heels of the HBCU update that Jahi does every week. He did his at 6:40. But we have a special guest joining us from Morehouse to talk about some things that are going on there. an announcement that was made this past week. So that is all coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. And also next, we haven't done this in a little bit, Mr. Crenshaw.
Yeah.
Our most grateful.
How about that?
We talk about the things that we are most grateful for right now in our life. It could be anything other than your family, because that's the obvious one. But things that are just in place that make life a little bit easier and or enjoyable, if you will, as we go through this crazy time that we're dealing with right now. The other thing I was going to say I've been watching, or trying to, is PGA. And okay. I thought, maybe Phil Mickelson's going to give me something this week. Weekend.
He Oops. gave you a 77 yesterday.
he gave you a Thursday and a Friday, or a Friday and a Saturday.
Yeah.
Thursday and Friday. Yesterday was not so good. He's sitting at 12 under par right now for the Travelers Championship. We can talk about the guys who tested positive for that. But Brendan Todd atop the leaderboard at 18 under, followed by Dustin Johnson. So, we'll see how that plays out today. Got some sports that are happening. We're going to talk more about that. Also, again, Major League Baseball and what they're attempting to do. That's next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Be sure to check us out on the radio.com app and all your devices, including smart speakers.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.